Hello and welcome to the Money Marketing Podcast. I'm Kimberly Dondo, Digital Content Manager, and we're back for our end of month podcast. And we are in the studio today with some of our amazing editorial team. So I will let them introduce themselves first. Starting from
here. Hi, I'm Tom Brown. I'm editor of Money Marketing.
Hi, I'm Dan Cooper, news editor.
And I am Lois Fallerly, chief reporter.
Awesome. So this is great because normally we do this over Teams, which I don't get to see your beautiful faces. So this is going to be nice. But I guess we can get started with you, Lois. You did the cover feature for the March issue.
Yep.
So do you want to tell us a little bit more about it? I know you kind of delved into it a little bit last month, but give us more detail.
No, I don't want to.
Come on.
No, I do. It was about the letters of authority process. So for anyone who doesn't know what that is, which I'm sure most advisors will know, it's what you, when you're onboarding new clients, you have to obviously go to the providers and ask them to transfer over, basically tell you as an advisor what the client has. And to do that, you have to get a signed letter. And it's a really, really laborious process. And every time I mention it to advisors, they roll their eyes. So I thought I'd better write a cover feature about that. Mm-hmm.
So why is it so laborious? Why is it still so stuck in the past?
Probably largely providers have these legacy processes. That's, I imagine. There've been hints that providers are doing it deliberately to try and keep money within the companies. Obviously, they wouldn't admit that if it is true. But if that's the case, I mean, it's a bad strategy anyway, because yes, you're going to keep the money in for longer, but advisors aren't going to want to work with you anymore. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just, so I started off, I made the point that we've got all this technology. Mm. Futuristic sort of stuff that's happening, artificial intelligence, which we've talked about a lot on the podcast before. And then some providers are still requiring wet signatures from clients, which is just ridiculous.
And is it likely to change anytime soon as a result of technology, do you think?
I mean, you can accept electronic signatures. But I don't really know why some providers are refusing. Seems to me to be ridiculous. But so I had a chat with this guy, Scott Phillips, who launched this firm called the Pensions Lab. And they're doing a campaign to try and get advisors to, it's called Log Your LOA Pain. So advisors, the idea is for them to say when letters of authority process has been really long and laborious, and then to hopefully get some sort of quantitative and qualitative data to be able to then basically lobby the providers to do a better job. So we shall see what comes from that.
Sometimes you need to shame them into doing it.
Yeah, exactly. So if they've got evidence, that would be good.
Okay. And Tom, what about you?
I did the MM Meets section for the March edition this time around. This is the first MM Meets I've done since I arrived at the magazine.
Which How was it? How did it?
It was fun. I mean, I've done lots of interviews in the past, but it was actually talking to someone who's a CEO of a wealth management firm. You know, that's a kind of slightly outside of my comfort zone, I'd say, up until that point. I actually did the interview just before Christmas, and it was, and I remember it being a really, really sort of just busy week because, I'd only arrived at the magazine in November, and there was lots of busy stuff going on before Christmas, and I was suddenly doing this interview. So I was a bit apprehensive. And then the weather was apocalyptic on the day that I did it, and I got really soaked on the way to the office. And I just, this is really, really just bad vibes I'm getting from all of this. It was good because it made a nice intro to my feature. I put it all in there, don't waste anything. And but the interview turned out really, really well. Steve Levine, who's the CEO of Quilter, and he was extremely interesting. I mean, he's had a very, very long career at Quilter. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's changed its name a few times since he's been there, and he was saying that his job title had changed multiple times when he ended up CEO a couple of years ago. And he's done an awful lot, you know, particularly on the platform side of things. And you know, Quilter is famous for, you know, is its platform and its innovations in that area and what have you, and its big sort of platform migration journey. So he was talking me through all those kinds of things. But technology, which we just mentioned in terms of letters of authority, he was talking about how that might impact the advisor space. He had some interesting things to say about, you know, could you have like a sort of robotic advisor popping up, you know, in the future? You specify what kind of advisor you want. You put in like the gender, the age of the advisor, what their hair color is, whatever, everything like that. This advisor then pops up and gives you all the advice. He did emphasize to me, he made a specific point that this is not what they're rolling out for Quilter at all. But he said he'd seen demos of that kind of thing. And he was wondering, you know, in the future, is that the kind of thing you might have? Or might younger people go for that, but not so much older clients?
I don't know if I care so much about what my advisor looks like. when you said, like, what kind of advisor you want, I thought you meant, like, what do they specialize in?
No, it's all about what they look like.
Yeah, I guess. I want them to be hot. I want them to look like Chris Hemsworth.
Well, you can put all of that in, no doubt. It's like they used to do with sat navs. You could have like celebrity voices.
Maybe
you could do something with advisors. Anyway, that was very much a sort of a side discussion that we had. Mm-hmm. We had it at the same time that he was talking about cricket and rugby and barbecues and stuff like that. We had a bit of a casual chat as well as all the advisor stuff, but he was fascinating. He's very lots of interesting stuff to say about Consumer Duty as well and the effect it's had on his company and the sector in general. He was a very, very, very kind of interesting guy. I bumped into him since the article came out, and he seemed very sort of like pleased with the way it's cost, and he's actually becoming he's become a regular contributor now. He's just written a leader about the so-called British ISA, UK ISA.
UK ISA.
Yes, sorry. Yeah, Lois and I have a long-running
discussion
about this.
I thought it was the British ISA.
It's technically called the UK ISA and Great Britain.
Oh, because
and UK
it's
are not the
United
same thing.
Kingdom. Right, yeah.
Anyway, everyone started calling it the British ISA, even though largely because that's what Jeremy Hunt said in his budget statement. So,
wait, does that mean that it cuts out Northern Ireland then, if it's the British ISA?
Technically, yes.
But it is officially the UK ISA if you look in the budget document. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Stephen wrote a piece on that in our upcoming April issue. More of which later, I suspect.
Which I was going to do. And he stole it from me.
Well, me and Steve, you know, we're like that. What can I say? But yeah, so that was a very, very, very positive experience. And I think it made a nice little interview, I think.
Mm-hmm. Definitely worth a read. So if you haven't, check out both online or get the... No, actually do both. Get the print edition and also check them out online. But also, I'm going to throw this over to you, Dan.
Yeah, so... I wrote one of the leaders for the last mag, which was mainly around platforms and how 2023 was the worst year on record for advice outflows from advice platforms.
Okay.
And the Landcat State of the Nation report showed that huge amounts, I think it's $53 billion, was taken out of platforms last year. About 30% more than 2022, so it's just kind of really only going in one direction. So,
as in, like, people withdrawing their cash.
Yeah. Oh. So it's sort of ISAs and pensions mainly taking a hammering.
That's me.
And this was largely the cost of living crisis. Speculating.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I said that's me. Just being like, I'm going to be good and save, and then I'm like, oh no,
I'm not very good at saving unless I physically can't get the money back out again.
Yeah, that's why, like. I liked my stocks and shares ISA because it would take weeks for me to get my money back. Mm. But recently they've made it a faster process. So I'm kind of like, oh no, don't do that. Because now I could think I can like get it back. But it's nice to know.
How long does it take now?
Like 5 days.
Really?
Whereas before it was 2 weeks. So that would stop me from, you know, dipping into my savings. Yeah. But now I'm just like, because I have... I don't know, a lizard brain that sometimes tells me I need it now.
Well, I mean, I guess you're not alone because
clearly
you say the cost of living crisis was the main reason people gave. know, for taking money out, you know, either to help themselves or family members, you know, children with helping children out with deposits, mm-hmm. just generally giving them a hand.
Mm-hmm.
Bank of mum and dad. So ISAs and pensions, yeah, took the kind of biggest hit. So the leader was really just looking at, you know, will 2024 be any better? Mm. And looking at, you know, all the uncertainty in the world at the moment. You've still got, you know, the conflict in the Middle East, mm-hmm. You know, the war in Ukraine. You've mm-hmm. got however many elections this year, ridiculous number, isn't it?
Yeah, I get confused on the number. It seems 60 different with each source I look up, but a lot anyway. Yeah.
But every asset manager or wealth manager that I speak to always says that like elections don't actually affect the markets, because most of the time, whatever government comes in, their policies take a while to be put in place to affect the markets. Yeah. So there might be a reaction on the day, but it's not going to be like Brexit level shake up or mini budget.
I was going to say
shake up. So
that was a fun day.
Mini budget was so unexpected. That's the thing.
It's a definition of fun I've not heard before with that one.
I can imagine it's
my
quite busy.
Have a great time.
Brexit was so interesting to see the bankers' reactions. It was very, they were very, very sad. Oh, I'm not going to have a job on Monday.
I was writing for a utility publication on the day that Brexit was announced. And two massive stories had also broken in the utilities space, which was very exciting. We got in at 6 a.m. that morning, got our coffee, and it was a fun news day.
Yeah.
Sounds it.
But yeah, just going back to your leader briefly, Dan, because there was a quote in it by Rich Mayer of the Landcat, who said that this is going to be the year that platforms return to normality. But it seems to me that even though the kind of macroeconomic picture is getting better in the sense that inflation is coming down, there's probably going to be an interest rate cut, it's going to be quite a long time before people actually feel that in their pockets. What normality looks like or when that might return
is still a big question mark.
The
other thing which I was going to mention, which I make reference to in the article, is the all of those issues aside, you know, the political economic issues, cost of living, everything we've just mentioned, also private equity backed consolidators. So it's that kind of rise and the question about what impact will that have on platforms and the future of platforms. Mm-hmm. I think there's around sort of 34-35 PE backed consolidators now in the advice market, which a lot of people believe, you know, they'll continue snapping up the smaller IFAs and just get bigger and bigger. And
there's no sign that that trend is slowing at all.
No, I mean, I think there's kind of whispers that, it's slowing slightly compared to the last 2 years, because it really has been every other week.
Yeah.
And perhaps Consumer Duty's got something to do with that as well, where originally just kind of on this acquisition drive, snapping up all these smaller firms. And then they sort of think, hang on a minute, what are we going to do with them all? They have to kind of this vertical integration, actually having to integrate these new firms into their existing setup. So
that ongoing advice thing is probably going to affect big consolidators as well.
Yeah.
Because they're going to have to evidence that they are providing value.
Potential interesting future topic.
We are overusing interesting again, guys.
I didn't even notice.
I am too.
Fascinating.
I didn't notice.
But I do hope that at some point we'll be able to do like a year happy birthday to Consumer Duty and see. It's. I mean, we've already started seeing people kind of assess how that's been going. So it'll be nice to see how it's been going in July.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's move on to April. It feels like, wow, how did we get here so quickly? what are you excited for in April, or what have you worked on for the April issue that you want to talk about?
I won't give too much away, but I've written the cover feature for April about pensions.
First one?
First couple of features.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
And pensions too. Exciting.
I know. Plenty to talk about.
No, genuinely, I do enjoy pensions. Yeah.
But we kind of gone with kind of pensions being in a crisis on life support, which was Tom's wisdom.
Well, I came up with a headline. To be fair, I didn't come up with the whole concept of the feature, but yeah.
So it was just kind of a deep dive, really, into the current state of the pensions in the country and kind of what has been done over the last 20 years with various different changes, regulation changes, and going forward, what can be done, because clearly at the moment people just aren't saving enough money, and that loops back again, to the cost of living crisis, a big part of it, because we're being warned that people aren't saving enough, but then people
don't have it
exactly. So it's just what do we do? And there's kind of all this talk about potentially auto enrollment, review, changes there, perhaps sort of increasing contributions slowly.
Mm-hmm.
There's kind of different ideas about I think the magic number. There's a lot of people say is about sort of between 12% and 15%. It's just about how do we get people to that point?
Give them more money.
Maybe exactly.
Billionaires
that would be an easy...
give us money.
Yeah, because they already have their retirement sorted.
They can club together.
They can sponsor a bunch of
and
people.
And they can go to everyone, and I think that's communism, isn't it?
I think that is communism. Generally works out well.
No, genuinely though.
Isn't it? Is it Jeff Bezos? It was some billionaire who has his own diver for his aquarium to clean his aquarium.
Yeah, that's how big roll. His
He employs a diver to clean his aquarium. I don't know if it's Jeff Bezos. If Jeff Bezos lawyers are listening, it may not be him. Allegedly. It was some very rich person.
He's going to go on Twitter and quote tweet this.
Does he use Twitter? Isn't that his I don't know. I'm getting into billing.
I think we lose track. Don't
yeah.
We? Maybe it's Elon Musk who has the diver.
Probably that seems on.
They can't all see him. Or maybe they can try.
Elon is currently suing people for saying mean things about him on Twitter, so watch there out. Is potential that he might come.
Okay. I've said my piece in that case.
No, it's fine though, because it's under freedom of speech, I think. Anyway, moving on, I did want to bring up the pensions dashboard. Is there anything, did you talk about that as well?
Yeah,
it's mentioned, isn't it?
It's mentioned in there. Auto enrollment pensions dashboard. So many sort of different. Also looking at other countries that have got it right.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a really solid kind of foundations and pension systems. Places like the Netherlands, which I think for the last 3 or 4 years, it's got kind of consistently topped the best pension system in the world, and Israel was high up there, and others, and it was just kind of, can we look at other examples doing? And it's various different things, but
oh well. I'm not going to be able to fix it, so I can't give.
Well, that's disappointing. I was hoping by the end of this episode
I'll be pensions minister. I don't know if I can fill those boots, but Tom, what about you?
Well, I mean, I don't have a longer feature in the April issue, I'm afraid to say, but I did. I was reading through Dan's piece when I was writing my editor's letter for the issue, and it did really bring home to me. just on a level, I think it's something like the recommended level, the amount that you should be saving every month is it 15% of earnings?
Yeah.
And something like 87% of people are not saving that level. And it did, as always, whenever we discuss these matters, it brings it home to my own sort of circumstances. I'm thinking, how much am I saving a month? And I don't think it's 15%.
No, it's not for me either,
or anything close to that.
No,
and it's an endless education working on this publication, but it's also a slightly terrifying one as well. In the sense
certainly
it's
terrifying.
It is.
It brings home the micro and macro economic level in a way that it's not always comfortable.
Yeah.
So
for the April issue, I wrote a leader about the FCA. Has published its thematic review, well, the outcome of its thematic review on retirement income advice, which was a big one that everyone was waiting for.
Mm-hmm.
That happened on the morning after I'd drunk quite a lot of glasses of wine.
So this is some top-notch stuff.
Well,
that you wrote.
Dan wrote the news story.
Mm-hmm.
He came to my rescue. But yes, I wrote a leader column for April on it, just looking at what it'll mean. I couldn't obviously analyse the entire thing in 650 words, so I just sort of picked out some key points, and one of the key ones is on vulnerable clients.
Mm-hmm.
And how they need more sort of tailored retirement advice. And also a big point that the FCA made, and it seems fairly obvious, but I don't think all advisors are sort of tuned into it, is the fact that you need a completely different strategy for people in accumulation mm-hmm. than you do for those in decumulation.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly never thought of it before I joined money marketing, but if you're saving into a pension, say, or investing at all, what you should be doing is, when you're young, putting into quite high risk, and when you get older, sort of lower the risk. But yeah, I'm not going to say much more because you can go and read it.
Yes, definitely. Once again, another plug, get both. Subscribe to the magazine and also go on the Money Marketing
website. It's definitely
website.
Worth having the physical copy.
Yeah, it is
so
definitely.
Pretty.
Yeah.
And do please comment on our articles as well.
Especially mine. Especially personal. Comment on my articles about me, preferably.
Yeah. Attacking her.
I love
she
that.
Loves being attacked.
All offers of gifts, dinner, drinks is also welcome.
Yeah.
I look much better in real life than my sketch.
You can always ask for a second one. I don't know. But yeah, is there anything else you guys wanted to highlight for as we go into April?
Dan's birthday.
No. Dan's birthday. Don't. Exciting.
Don't. It's not exciting. Not anymore.
Oh, no.
God.
It's always exciting.
How do you feel? I hate it when young people go on about, it's a nightmare. I'm getting older.
I mean, look at my hair.
I don't do that anymore. And Dan, I make myself have grey hair. I want it.
Yeah. Apparently it is in fashion. So
it's in vogue.
I'm lucky. Thank you.
Yeah.
I will love my birthday forever.
Yeah. Birthdays are beautiful. They're a beautiful thing.
During our next podcast, I'll remind everyone that my birthday is in May.
Yes. And another thing we should remember that is happening in May is Money Marketing Interactive Leeds.
The day before my birthday.
The day before. So if you want to come to Leeds for the conference and also to celebrate Lois's birthday, please do go to the Money Marketing website and register, and we'll see you there, hopefully. And yeah, I think that's everything.
Yeah, all of us will be at that event, and we'll all be hosting panels, I think, as well. So.
And I will be expecting presents.
Yeah, I just want presents too. Just because.
Just because.
Yeah. Yeah, get them for the whole editorial stuff. We love presents. But thank you all for joining me today.
Thank you.
Loved talking to you guys and seeing your faces, as always. And I guess we'll see you in the next one.
Yes.
Goodbye.
See you then.
Some
bye.
Some